Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the good in our lives, and we ask you to guide us to look for the hope and love that we have in our future on earth and with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It has been very nearly a year now since the Paradise Fire. In that event, it really did shuffle so many people around, their lives here and there. Tens of thousands of people had to quickly find a new home and to deal with the loss of memories and valuable possessions. From the people that I know who were in the Paradise Fire, well, I guess that half of those who lost their homes have moved out of state. And I feel the loss of their fellowship, of those who have moved away. I miss them. And yet I know that other people will have the gain of knowing them. I still meet people who get to tell me their story about the loss and the trauma in their life. A lot of people still feel the pain of that fire. I've heard of plenty of stories of people who, well, I guess you'd call them prepper people, who talk about whatever it is that they lost. It might be food or supplies or silver, guns, or gold. A lot of people lost a lot of things in that fire. And I'm just glad that we did not lose that which is the most important thing in life, and that is our faith in Jesus Christ. No, we don't like that we have lost things, but those things are minor compared to our eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. Now, in history, people have always suffered, and people have always had loss. And I feel for the people who have loss, people in the local fires, and really, you think of all the pain of the people who have had losses in history. Wow, overwhelming. It is overwhelming. Last week, I heard on the news that 180,000 people were called on to be evacuated from that Sonoma, the Santa Rosa fire down there. And that morning, the conditions were 18 miles of Highway 101 were just a parking lot. And that people, once they got on the freeway, they could not get on. They were stuck. 101 was clogged, and there was very little movement. Once they got on that freeway, they couldn't even exit. So I suppose that's a part of what we can be considering for the preparedness plan that we have. If we are ever having to flee a fire or a natural disaster, well, it would be really something if we had that huge number of people who had to evacuate. They thought they were going someplace, but they were just stuck right in traffic. Maybe with no food, maybe with no water, and no bathroom. Wow, it just shows you that we have some thoughts about what we can do to be prepared. And of course, it brings back the memories of the Paradise Fire, how so many people were stuck on Skyway, going from Paradise to Chico, and what was different, though, between the current example and that one was that from the Paradise Fire, the people on Skyway had fire right up to them or over them, and many of the cars were singed or even burned up by those hot flames. It was a tough place to be. People escaping the flames. Wow. There are so many memories that people are carrying with them today. People, not just the memories, but the trauma and the pain that goes on. And these fires currently are bringing back the memories of the Paradise Fire. It just triggers the trauma once again of the Paradise Fire survivors. With this kind of trauma going on, it makes it easy to overlook some of the other trials that we had before that weren't really trials, but, oh, like dish soap. Dish soap was not being produced in the amount that it was expected to be produced, and so it was going to be a shortage until December 1st. And I know that's nothing compared to a forest fire or a house burning, but I'm trying to say that we are distracted from the plain old simple losses in life and concerns that we've had when there is a monumental something. Oh, even the power outages, they don't compare to a great big forest fire where we lose our home and all the belongings in it. And millions of people now in California have had their power shut off for days. It's quite something. Well, I want to say that we can pray for all the people who are being affected by fire, both from a year ago and the fires that are going on today or have gone on in recent days. We can pray for the many people who have had kindness in their heart and actions. They have been concerned for the fire victims, for the people who have had to flee or who have suffered loss and trauma. There's a lot of good people that really have shown their caring and compassion. We need to pray for them too, not just the people who have lost so much, but the people who are showing their care and concern. Their Christian values, they are coming out, and we can pray for them that they continue to be strong in their Christian faith. PG&E and all sorts of government agencies, they affect our lives very greatly, and we can pray for them too. A few weeks ago, I mentioned how the PUC, the Public Utility Commission, and the California governor had signed, made law, which contributed to the longer electric outages. And then a week ago, I heard the California governor say that both he and the Public Utilities Commission had some responsibility for the power outages today. And I'm glad that that got said, but it sure didn't get much time in the media. Not hardly. Well, we are so many affected by the consequences in life, so many of them unintended consequences, and we each have to be careful that the actions that we take have good consequences, and that includes how we vote, because we are an integral part of our government. As we vote for issues and people to represent us. And that California fires that have gone on and are going on just remind us of how important it is that our government interacts with us and represents us. When I think of those California fires, how can I not think of 2 Peter 3:7, where Peter says the world will first be judged by water, and that was with the Noah's flood, and the next judgment will be by fire. And I think about all the fires that are going on in America. Are they a part of this? Are they a warning of what is to come? Well, I sure don't know, but how can you not think of it? I think of it and just wonder and pray. Always to pray. Pray for mercy. Well, is there a connection? Yeah. Well, I think of Isaiah 66:16 also. Right in there, there is a talk about, for by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. And I just kind of wonder, that's another reference to fire. I just think of these things. And yes, from what I can tell, the Bible does tell us what we are going to be dealing with in the future. And we kind of guess about it too. It's not like it's all spelled out, but we know that there are going to be events in the future, and certainly it will relate to fire. But for all these things in the future, we just don't know when they are going to happen. Not at all. We just don't know when. It seems like we don't grasp the concept of time until it actually arrives. The Bible predicts plenty of things, and they have all come true when the Bible has predicted it. It's just not in the time frame that we can grasp. But it does make me think about what we can do to get ready for it all, and that is to have water, food, and warmth. Because events are going to happen. Water, food, and warmth are what we need to survive. We can get a lot of other supplies too, and that's a good idea. It's just that water, food, and warmth are essential to life. So get some today. Put it aside for the just-in-case times. And if you wait until you know a crisis is coming, well, other people will know it too, and it can be pretty hard to get the food, water, and supplies that you want. They will be hard to find. So, I've related to you what I've heard plenty of paradise survivors talk about, and some of them will say that they were all stocked up with their supplies, and the fire took them all away. And I have responded to that by saying, yes, I know, but there have been people around who have helped you with the supplies and food and water that they have stocked up. And so it was still a good thing to save and to put supplies away. It was good. So, yeah, I think of how people have been fleeing the fire areas that happened a year ago and that has happening now in the other California fires. About fleeing, that makes me think of Mexico, how so many Mexican citizens have fled the Mexican cities and farms because of the drug cartels in Mexico. There has been such great murder of defenseless people in Mexico by the drug cartels. And they are defenseless people because almost no one in Mexico is allowed to have defense like a firearm. And so what are those law-abiding citizens of Mexico to do? I'm not sure, but a lot of them have fled to a safer place, and that is in America. But the drug cartels, they not only do they not obey the laws, and by the way, in Mexico, they have plenty of guns. The drug cartel does. Do you remember the story about the drug lord El Chapo? He kept escaping from the Mexican prisons. And so Mexico allowed the United States to hold him and try him in the U.S. courts. And he was sentenced to 30 years in prisons which was expected to be a lifetime sentence. But there's another story that's kind of related to that, and that is that his two sons were ordered to be arrested. And so the Mexican military went out to arrest those two sons, and that was in Chulacan, Sinaloa, Mexico. So the Mexican military did go in, and they did arrest those two sons on drug-related or drug cartel-related charges. And then guess what happened? Immediately, the drug cartel mobilized, and there was an eight-hour-long gun battle, a firefight between the drug cartel people and the Mexican military. And guess what? The Mexican military ended up surrendering their two prisoners. And so what happened was the drug cartel beat the Mexican military. Oh boy. Oh boy. Well, when I think about the drug cartels and their power, I cannot help but think about who supports, who funds those drug cartels. And the answer is we Americans do. We are the primary purchaser of the drugs that they sell. And those transactions put huge amounts of currency into the hands of the drug cartels. And currency means power. When you get that money stuff, you can buy all sorts of things, including politicians. And that happens so much in Mexico. Oh, in this country too, but in Mexico it's quite obvious. Well, there is a battle. There's a battle going on. And I just told you about the gun battle, but there's a spiritual battle too. But we could have such a gun battle going on in America, and we do have them going on, but we don't hear about them. It does happen on a smaller scale, though, and it happens pretty often. It just goes unnoticed and unreported. I don't know why, but the media and the police departments don't make it public what struggles they have. If you look, well, you have to kind of talk to people or see it with your own eyes, but you get to know some of the stories that circulate if you talk to people who know. And you get to realize that there is a lawless element right in our very own locality. Every locality has them, and it is controlled and contained by that thin blue line, which I am so very thankful for. We have that thin blue line of law enforcement that keeps us regular citizens safe and protected. It's not lawless like it is in some other countries or even some border towns. Border towns in America, too, are just full of lawless people. You could call them drug cartel people if you want, but that's not always the case. There have been stories which you hear if you read the news carefully. You find the story of kidnappings and ransom demands for people who are along the border states of the United States. And the lives are threatened, and people pay the ransoms. That goes on in our United States. And then they get that family member back again alive. It happens. It's going on here. So please remember that we do not want to encourage or allow that lawless element to flourish in our society. We need to contain the lawless and the corrupt. It's not always easy to find out, but when we do, we sure have to put a stop to it. And that's one of the problems with having the element of drugs in our society, is because they encourage the lawless element. Everybody seems to have their own opinion on it, but that's my observation. So I'm trying to say, beware of the unintended consequences. That's really what our big serious concern is. The unintended consequences of our laws, our actions, how we vote, all of it. Yeah. I know that the law enforcement agencies, they pretty well know what's going on in our community, and we just don't seem to notice. We're not exposed to it. We don't see the violence in our communities all over the United States. So often, if there is some violence, whether it's from a fight with beer bottles or whatever kind of violence it is, or vehicles burning in the street, what happens is that mess, or the mess of blood and guts, whatever it is, that gets picked up and cleaned up before the general public gets to see it. And that has been going on for years. So be thankful that we have that thin blue line and stand against that lawless element in our nation. I think of that comic strip from, it was about 1970, and it was Pogo. Pogo said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." I know not a lot of people can even remember comic strips, but it was popular at the time, and it was kind of something many people, I don't know, they just looked at. So that line again was, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." Oh, statement has been said several other times in the past, but it was popularized, I think, by that Pogo comic. Well, so my point is that we want to be careful not to allow ourselves to dissipate, to become relaxed or decayed or anything else. We do not want our good morals corrupted. That's 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Okay, so it's hold to your good, upstanding standards. That's what I think I'm trying to say here. And we don't want to become a place for the enemy to find comfort. So just watch out for those real dangers. Oh, I know, real danger. The real big one is eternal suffering in hell. But there's little steps that we seem to take towards it of darkness. But hell is a place we want to avoid, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9:48. And I know there's a few people today who know what a chigger is like or what a parasitic worm is like. To have something alive in your body and moving around, it is, from what I hear, it is just terrible. And so when you think of where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, I can't help but think of that, a parasite in your body. Or a fire that doesn't stop burning. And we know what that's like sometimes. We've been burned. Well, anyway, God gives us each a choice, and the choice is heaven or hell. So you get to choose by what you do and your conscious mind. You have the power to make a determination of your choice. Do you want what God wants you to do? Because that's heaven or hell. Or do you want what you want you to do? So, like I so often say, read the Bible and determine if it's true, and if it is, follow it. Yeah. You can learn from people who have talked about their experience of dying and going to heaven, or dying and going to hell. Now, their stories are quite, well, they sure get your attention. And I just say it brings the reality of heaven or hell right into your life. And you know that you want to go to heaven and you want to avoid hell. And I think it helps us when we study God's word. And then we know for sure what we want as we live faithfully to what we know. And we then get to know God's word, and that we want to live faithfully according to God's word. So, get a grasp of your eternal destiny, and then do what you believe. Follow it out in your life. And speaking of what you believe, you know, there's a lot of people who will say something like, well, I don't believe there is a heaven and a hell. I believe you die and that's all. Or there might be a heaven, but there's not hell, and that's what I believe. Well, I want to tell you that it really doesn't make a big difference what you believe. It makes a difference what God says, because that's real. It's not a whole lot different from if you want to say that there's a law that you believe in or don't believe in, and you're going to follow it or not. Well, you make your choice, but the law enforcement makes its choice too, and then you don't have a choice anymore. So I say pay attention to what God says, because it's true. Look for yourself. Read the Bible. Now, I know pastors can be a lot of help for understanding what the Bible says, but I urge you to read the Bible yourself, and then you get a more direct word to hear what God says. God has it in his Bible, and you get to have the direct word of what God is saying to you. Read the Bible. That's a good book. So, there are different pastors that say different things. Now, I think that's an element of why some people are not comfortable with either church or with God, is because they've heard one pastor say one thing and another pastor say something that doesn't really line up with what they hear one pastor say and then another pastor. That is another reason why you want to read the Bible yourself. Because then you get to see and understand and recognize that there is God's Word. And He tells you the whole and complete truth. He certainly does. And we want to have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And we get that by getting to know God through Jesus Christ. And after all, we will be spending an eternity with Him. So we want to learn about God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. It is through Jesus that we are saved. It is our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes people will say, Jesus Christ, And sometimes people will say Christ Jesus. I don't think it makes a difference. Maybe you see a difference, but I don't. And Jesus is his name, and Christ is his position, which is the chosen one of God. So please talk to him and pray and read his word. It's a good thing to do. And what could be more important than doing that? I don't know. Because our eternal preparedness is heaven or hell. And it's so very important. So, read that Bible. I know I talk about physical preparedness too. I talk about it being a really good idea or important. And it can be. It can be so very important. You look at how people have been blessed by having supplies. Because we don't know what will really happen in our future. And we all have a different idea. And we all want to be ready for something. So remember to be ready for your life, eternal life with Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's right. And tell people about the good news, the news of the gospel, that we can be saved for heaven and be with Jesus Christ forever and not go into that other place. Yeah. I think about the people who greet one another, and what do? We say, "How you doing?" And the answer is, "I'm great. How are you?" Well, I understand that most of the time we just don't have the time or it's not the place to have a real conversation. But that makes me think of people's time and how much time they have. Hardly any time. We are so busy, we don't have a lot of time to think about what we might need in the way of preparedness or where the world is headed. We just get pretty happy to get done with our work day and go home and have our bills paid for the rest of the month. And that's what so many people do today. That is as far as anyone's awareness goes with their momentary needs and desires. And yet we do have a whole life in front of us. And I think about those other things that could happen. I think about preparedness. And I want to tell everybody to be prepared. And I try to, and I do. Yes, spiritually, but also physically. Because there's a lot going on in our world. All around us. So in our world, in a way, is local. And I talked about the police events a few minutes ago. Things go on that we don't realize. Things go on in our state that we don't realize, in our nation and between nations. Things are going on. It's a big world, and we don't know what we should be prepared for exactly, but we know that in history, there have been so many things that have just not turned out the way people expected. And people suffer. So your preparedness supplies are good because we don't know what we're going to have to deal with. And sometimes it just doesn't matter anyway because a calamity will hit us. But like I said, the world has a lot of difficult situations, and we can only guess if we will be in one or not. I can't help, my thought goes back to China and how there are internment camps in China where millions, like 3 million Chinese are held. And they are held there, and well, one of the first things that happens to them is they get their blood typed to see, oh. See, this is one of the things that's going on that there has been decades of testimony about. Literally over 20 years of testimony. But we just don't hear it. It's things that go on, and we live in a world that has corruption in it. And this is an example of the corruption, where the 3 million people, Chinese citizens, who are in internment camps, where they are expected to give up their organs, not voluntarily either, and they don't even have the benefit of anesthesia. They are just cut open and their organs are sold. That has been going on, like I said, for years. And we have to realize that there are evil people in the world who really do not have any human values. And we Christians want to pray for all the things that are going on in the world. We want to pray that righteousness is restored. We want to pray for God's kingdom to come. But look around us. Look around locally, nationally, internationally, and see that there is reason for getting some supplies together so that we can both survive and we can help other people to survive if and when there is a problem happening. I think of natural disasters, but like I said, there's other political disasters too. Oh, yes, like the 4,000 people, 4,000 Christians per year who are martyred for their faith. There's just persecution that goes on, and death, rightly and wrongly. So we just have to be careful. And Christians are an element of the persecution. Oh, I just mentioned those China's internment camps. There are weaker Muslims in them, and Falun Gong religion people, and Christian people. All of those people are imprisoned, and, well, you don't know what's going to happen, but, oh, it's pretty tough. People have problems all over the place, and we want to do what we can so that we don't have problems, both politically and economically and in our little life as it goes on with our, it's not our little life, it's an important life, but our life is small compared to the rest of the world and the problems that are going on. Still, it's our life, and we want to take care of it. We want to take care of our stability. Yes, having food, having warmth. And also, our economic health is something that we need to pay attention to. See, in this world of ours, there's so many people who see that the economy is about ready to come apart. Now, I'm sympathetic to that point of view because I've seen the signs historically, and I see them coming about here in our nation. So I get very concerned. And beside that, every month and every year that goes by, there are gradually more and more people who talk about an economic problem coming to us. More people are warning the United States people about a soon coming economic problem. There can be an example of our economic situation that points to it, and there is our history, historical examples throughout hundreds of years and thousands of years that point to it. So what we're doing right now is we are being unable to contain our spending and our debt and our money printing. That's as a government, but personally, we also can't keep from spending our money. We have so little savings in this country, and so our money system is under stress, great stress, which is why there has been an injection of capital into our money systems that's going to last until like February of 2020. $75 billion a day, $130 billion a day. It does matter, but in a way it doesn't matter, because the principle and the movement is indicating the direction. So it seems kind of inevitable to the people who have looked at it. The people who don't just go along selling what they're selling and surviving life the best they can. But if you take a step back and look, you can see that these things are coming. We just don't know when. And really, we don't know what either. A lot of people say that there will be violence during that time. Who knows? But our system is undergoing stresses and strains. Oh, yeah, we'll see. Today, there are, in our land, there's not the kind of great troubles like famines and shortages of supplies, not really. Yeah, we can have things disappear off the store shelves for weeks, but it's not like they're not coming back. Or we can go to a more expensive store and find what we were looking for. Similarly with food, we can still buy the food, even though it's not on the shelves at the moment. Well, people who study these things are concerned, and I listen to them, and I say, look out, because things could happen. And even if there's not famine in our country, there could be famine in another country. And that starving country may say, hey, army of another country, you want some food? Well, we can tell you where there's food. Go to America and have plenty of food. America is rich and has everything you want. Go and plunder the country. Well, there are people who would do that. So that's another step past the crisis, though. Maybe I shouldn't have gone to that place, but of thought. But there is so many people who see a crisis coming, and the best we can do is to prepare for something. Prepare for something with our physical, food safety, but that includes other supplies, and that includes what could happen. The electricity shortages and outages are a part of what could happen, and it just helps to be prepared for what would happen. And yeah, I think about the generators. Nobody can keep generators in stock now because they're all getting bought. But if that was to be a problem that was longer lasting, the gas would run out and the generators would be worthless. So that's why I think of water, food, and warmth. And whatever parts of that that you can expand on is good. But have some thoughts for what could happen. And of course, I think of financial. We have the people who are well known in the financial circles, and they talk about some really big events happening. I don't quite know what to call it right now, but let's think. Gerald Celente is one of them, and he is talking about a second depression coming. Ron Paul, the retired congressman, he is another one who says a crash is coming and that this next crash will bring the entire system down. Those are just two pretty well-known people. And there's so many others. But be prepared. Me personally, I think I have some preparedness too with the food supplies. And it's not that they will last forever and ever. It's not like I'm a big rich guy with a shelter. No, I do have a few supplies, and I urge everybody to get a few supplies so that you can last until the next growing season. Yep. And you can be kind and share your food with people who are hungry. When people get hungry, even the simple food tastes good. You don't have to have those fancy freeze-dried foods because everything tastes good when you're hungry. Just plain old food tastes good. And if you get salt or a little sugar on it, that's even better. Yeah. Well, we seem to be coming to a problem because people will not stop spending. People, citizens won't, and our government won't, and we are, it is so looking like we are headed off of a cliff, and I don't know how we can come back from it. It's just not good. And when you tell people, there are certainly plenty of people who don't want to hear. Why, they will plug their ears with their fingers and say in a loud voice, "Don't tell me! I don't want to hear that!" Yeah, I'm sure there are people who literally do that, but I say that figuratively. They plug their ears and say, "Don't tell me! I don't want to hear that!" And so the people who will hear will have a chance to do something about it to protect their little area. And yeah, I don't know quite what to say to do because we all do things differently and with our different way of doing things and our different forms of preparedness or supplies, we will be able to help each other with one thing or another, whether it's wheat, like I like wheat, sugar, salt, and oil, and flavorings. But there's so much more. And you can get my preparedness paper about that too. Anyway, just keep thinking about that. Think of the lessons that people have learned. You know, another lesson that we also learn is to wait on the Lord. Now, there is a time to act and a time to wait. And I think that just comes by, well, practice, by our prayers being answered and seeing what God does and move in your life. We see it from examples, because sometimes we have to move quickly and it's the right thing to do. Other times we are to wait on the Lord. And as I look back on my life, there's been plenty of times when I didn't want to wait on the Lord. And you know what? I wish I had, because if I had, it would have turned out better. I don't mean that it turned out bad, but I know that if I'd have waited on the Lord, you just get indicators that things would have been better, and you get to put it together. Well, sometimes wait a little longer, and sometimes really act on it. I don't know. It just, you see it through experience. Experience will show you, and that's the only thing I know how to advise any of you to think about is experience and pay attention. And remember that our goal is to be a part of the kingdom of God and for other people to be a part of God's kingdom also. In this world, we have a battle going on. And it's the battle between God and Satan. I've heard some people call it the battle between good and evil. Okay, you can call it that. And people want to have good things, and they want to go to heaven. And to do that, you need God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, through Jesus Christ. And you can avoid the darkness and the torment of hell. You have a choice. We all do. So choose Jesus. And live like you mean it. Oh, I think about that paradise fire again. We are coming up to the 1-year anniversary, as you know. It's just right here. And there will be many people who are going to commemorate that event in the town of paradise. You can celebrate with them. Or you can pray for the situation there and the people. And be glad that we have such strong and resilient people as the people of paradise. Really, so many people are strong and resilient, and we are so thankful for the people we know. And I do think about the former residents of paradise, and I miss them because so many people have collected their insurance money and moved out of state. Often enough, they have gone to a state where they have more freedom. More than half of the people, I think, have actually left the area or left the state. Yeah, definitely more. As I think back on it, I think of all the people who I will miss. Well, remember those people and pray for them. Pray for the people who are going through troubles right now. Those people who were displaced will have a chance to talk with other people and spread the faith of God through Jesus Christ. And so, the pain that they feel can be turned into a blessing as we say, "Yes, Lord," and go on to some new thing, new place. But stay strong in the faith. Well, we miss them, but that's how it is. We have had so much stability in our nation for the last 70 years, I'd say. 70 years we've had such stability. We haven't known shortages or any real problems, epidemics or anything else. And we can give God thanks for that. But we also know that those things can happen in foreign lands, and really, they could happen right here too. Another reason to get prepared. Well, we want to be able to spread our faith in Jesus Christ, and sometimes the difficulties in life give us a fresh opportunity to introduce Jesus Christ to people, because they're ready to look at something and seek comfort. And that's what God is. God is a place of comfort. So always think of what you can do to spread the good news of the gospel. Oh, even in the midst of pain, where people have gone from one place to another to avoid the difficulties, of course, I would do it too. Well, remember to have compassion and to pray for the people who have had great compassion on the people who are in need. Yes, fire victims, but other people too. Just so many people have compassion, and Lord, thank you for them. I pray that you watch after them and protect them in every way and keep their hearts softened to do things that are in your will and according to your kingdom. I know that there's so many people who have given what they have to the fire victims. They've shared their food, their clothes, and plenty of people who I know, have given a room to somebody who was a fire victim of the Paradise Fire. And often enough, that was without charge, without any payment. Just, here, have a place to live. Because they made a room, they cleared a room and let the person stay there. It was easier because those Paradise Fire victims lost everything. Some of them, many of them did. So they didn't need a lot of space, and a room would work just fine. So remember the people who are kind, loving, and giving. Remember them in prayer too. There's so many people who have given whatever they could. One thing or another, it's just kindness and generosity has gone out from the hearts of good people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, everybody who's given out of the kindness of your heart to the fire victims. And we have more fire victims now in California. and I think of having things to give, and that's a part of why I say get prepared, is so that we have things to give to other people. And we see that there's things besides fire that can go wrong, all sorts of things. There can be volcanoes and earthquakes. And just now, what is there? There's an electrical outage, and millions of people are being affected in California. So there's opportunities to be kind, to give from what your provisions are. Give with kindness. There's plenty of people who have a sense that there are going to be shortages coming, or maybe the grid will fail, and there are just things that we can do to prepare for a loss of something, maybe even of income. Be prepared. Have savings of all types. And if you want a list, there's plenty of corporations or clinics or government agencies that have lists to give. They give them away for free. So have a look. Have a look. Get my list if you want, and send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And if you could please include a stamped self-addressed envelope, that would be great, and I'll send you my little list. You can also hear any of these broadcasts over again by going to www.christtoday.org. Think of these things. Remember daylight savings time. And again, I want to say thank you for listening, and think about preparedness. Until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.